Well, good morning, church family. Happy New Year to everyone. And what a wonderful way to start off the new year, to be with the church body and to worship our Lord. On Christmas Day, we were reminded of how our Lord humbly came to this world. And today, this morning, we focus our attention to Christ's sacrifice at the cross. And so as we sing these songs, we read God's Word, and we take part in communion, let us be reminded that Jesus overcame sin and death. In His Word, it says that if you confess with your mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So please stand and join in this chorus. We will glorify the King of Kings.
Lord, we come to you with grateful and thankful hearts as you have carried us through 2022. We thank you for your mercy during trying times and your grace when you walked us through various trials and dark valleys. When we have called upon your name to be saved, we are assured that you never leave us nor forsake us. You are with us. And as we enter this new year, remind us that you are with us when we are faced with different trials and tribulations. We recognize that we are quick to forget when we are in the thick of difficult times. Thank you for bringing us together to worship around the communion table. We pause and we reflect and we remember. We ask that you would search our hearts and our minds. We remember that what Christ went through on the cross, providing salvation for us. We recognize the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior. And we ask that you would search our hearts and point out any offensive way that we may be harboring or protecting. We recognize that we are easily blinded by our sin in our life. We desire our lives to glorify you and walk according to your word. Prepare our hearts for worship and gratitude how you have made salvation possible. We thank you for this past year and what we have learned. And we look forward to what is coming in this new year and what it will bring. Help us to fix our eyes on you. Help us also, when faced with good, not to forget you. And faced with difficult, to not doubt you. You are good. And you will see things to the end. As your word says, you have planned the end from the beginning. You are seated on your throne, and nothing escapes your watchful eye. We are grateful for all you have done and will do. Equip us this year to serve you diligently with all we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just some quick announcements. This Friday, we have a church family potluck and games night. All are invited. Please bring a meal to share, and please bring a board game if you wish. The gym will be open from 4 to 8, so run off some of that energy, maybe run off some of that turkey. And we'll be starting to eat around 6 if you desire to come and to fellowship. Sunday school is starting next week, January the 8th. So we have adult fellowship classes, Corinthians study, as well as a foundation class, youth classes, and generations of grace for the young kids, looking at the Old Testament, continuing in Numbers. Take a look at the bulletin for all of those details. Also, some exciting news this past week. There was a baby boy born to Justin and Linda Fillion, Bo Lincoln Fillion, 8.2 pounds and 20.5 inches long. He was born on Boxing Day, December the 26th. Thank the Lord for a safe arrival. If you missed the emblems, there is still time to slip out and to get them. They are a two-cup process, so don't forget your second cup at the bottom. The bread is at the bottom and the juice is on top. So there is time to slip out of the auditorium doors and pick those up at some point in the service. We will partake together in a bit of time. This morning we will be reading through Matthew 26 to 28. Matthew 28 will be a responsive reading. Our worship songs are about the saving work of Christ, the reason for the season, why Christ came to earth to redeem. And may our hearts be refreshed and reminded of these truths as we prepare for communion.
Good morning. We'll start our reading with Matthew chapter 26, verses 1 to 30. You can follow along in your copy of God's Word or on the screen behind me. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, that he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days is the Passover, and the Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." Then the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar among the people. And when Jesus was in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him, having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now, on the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand, and I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now, as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
There would be a sacrifice and blood. Matthew 26, 31 to 56. Then Jesus said to him, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with the great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, and cut off his ear. But Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will be perished by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled, that it must happen thus?" In the hour, Jesus said to the multitudes, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
Thank you. And those who had laid a hold of Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance to the high priest's courtyard, and he went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests, the elders, and the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward, and they said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.'" And then the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under the oath of the living God. Tell us you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his clothes, saying, "He has spoken blasphemy. What further do you need of witnesses? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think?" And they answered and said, "He is deserving of death." And they spat in his face and beat him. And others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, "Prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one that struck you?" Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "Were you also with Jesus of Galilee?" But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And then he had gone out to the gateway, and another girl saw him, and he said to those that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. But then he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you are the one of them, for your speech betrays you." And he immediately began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. So he went out and wept bitterly.
Let's pray. Our Father, as we hear the report of Peter, one who had walked with Jesus for 3 years, his teacher, his friend, his Savior, the one he had boldly proclaimed that he was the Christ, the Son of God. And yet at this weak moment, he denies 3 times. Father, we can sympathize as we too have denied Christ by sinning against him. We recognize that Jesus went to the cross because of our sin. Father, we thank you that you provided a substitute, that your wrath for every sin we have committed was punished, but your Son received the punishment in our place. Father, we're thankful that Jesus from the cross proclaimed the word of forgiveness. Father, forgive them. And we're thankful that in the cross we find forgiveness. So, Father, we are thankful that though we have sinned against you, though we fall short of the glory of God, though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we're thankful that Peter was repentant, that he wept bitterly and then was restored by your Son, that he was even charged to minister, to preach the gospel. Father, we're thankful for restoring all who trust in Jesus Christ, that our sins are completely forgiven, that our debt is paid, that the sacrifice on our behalf has been made. So, Father, even as we rejoice in the forgiveness that we find in Christ, we also search our hearts, realizing that we still sin against you. So, Father, forgive us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would continue a sanctifying work to make us more holy,
more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we recognize that we are not worthy. And yet we're told to examine ourselves to see if we're worthy. We know that in Christ we are worthy because we bear the righteousness of your Son. So, Father, we're thankful for forgiving us. We pray that you would help us to live a life that is worthy of the gospel, that is pleasing to you, that will bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Matthew 27, verses 1 through 34. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. But the chief priests took the silver and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood." And they consulted together and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Therefore that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was fulfilled was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of him who was priced, whom they of the children of Israel priced, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me." Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marveled greatly. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that the tumult was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he had delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink.
Please stand and join in singing as we declare. declare Jesus keep me near the cross, and we ask, we realize the power of the cross in believers.
Oh, continue reading from Matthew chapter 17, verses 35 through 66. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Sitting down, they kept watch over him there, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, 'This man is calling for Elijah.' Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, 'Let him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him.' And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of their graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.' And many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Now when evening came, there was a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded that the body be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed. And Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how the deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has been raised from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard.
Let's gather around the table of the King together. In our scripture reading, we encountered one of two precious ordinances that we have in the Church of Jesus Christ. Christ is preparing to eat the Passover meal in a room full of men who walked with him for 3 years. 3 years of trial, 3 years of blessing. And this is going to be his last meal with them. Jesus had now already spoken to them about the cross on many occasions. After Peter declared that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Christ announces to him that he must go on to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and rise again on that third day. While they were eating the Passover meal, Jesus is doing something that's going to be remembered for thousands of years in the Christian communities, and something that we're going to be able to partake in, and something that we do partake in. Just as a recap in our first scripture reading, it said, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for many for the remission of sins.' This supper is like baptism in many ways. It is a public demonstration of the passion of the Lord Jesus to everybody who's present. It is for believers only. To the believers that see us partake in this sacrament in this room, we're showing everybody that we're unified with you and you're with us. That we're with our Lord, all in single unity, from the same cross, the same forgiveness of sins. For those who are children here who watch you partake, they may go home and ask, 'What was it, Mom and Dad, that they were doing?' And you have a gospel proclamation that you could give to the children. To those who might be here who are not believers, let this cup be something that you see, that it would be a sudden realization of how sacred this cross is to us and to you. Don't leave without it. For these reasons and more, we partake in communion so that we might show the world that our Lord Jesus Christ was beaten, he was crucified, in order that we might receive the righteousness of God. That all who come to him by faith today shall stand tomorrow in judgment day before the Father without condemnation, without any kind of judgment, for the judgment was given to Christ. And because of that, his godliness, his perfection, his obedience, his holiness, his purity, his righteousness is yours." Let's pray before we partake of our elements. Father, prepare our hearts. Before we come to you, we ask, Lord, that you would cleanse them. Like an old year has been cast aside and a new year is starting up, Lord, we pray the same for our hearts. What a way to start the year that we could sing songs of the cross and that we could prepare our hearts for this wonderful sacrament. And we ask that all in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11 tells us this: "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Let us take a moment of silence to remember the flesh that was wounded for us." In the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper. And he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let's have a moment of silence and reflect upon his blood shed for us. Holy Father, we thank you that you provided for us your Son. That through thousands of years of animal sacrifice, they were not sufficient. They were temporary. They could not take away our sin, but you sent the final Lamb of God to do that. We give thanks. Thank you, Jesus, for those moments that you were upon your knees and the weight of sin was on your back, mine included, ours included. The sweat that came from your brow, the food that you ate just before you passed, and the sorrow that you must have felt to carry such a burden. The cross, we thank you for it, that you clean us through the cross. You remove the penalty and the weight of our sin, that the cross redeemed us, restored us, reunites us with you. And for that we give thanks forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Though the cross is solemn and an important reflection of our faith, it should not be the final reflection of your faith. That is coming up in the following reading.
Matthew 28 is a responsive scripture reading. Please join along with me in bold together. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go into Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen."
Join in singing as we declare, "My hope is found in Christ alone."
Thank you. That's a certain future for all who know Christ, till He returns or calls you home. What a blessing it is to be God's children and begin a new year in this new life that we have in Christ. I leave you with the words of the Apostle John in his revelation, even as we look back to the cross and the resurrection. We look ahead to the promise of being with all the saints and worshiping in heaven. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on all the earth. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And all God's people say,